you have your Bibles tonight, if you would turn to 2 Corinthians, we're going to look at about four or five passages. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And when you've got it, look up this way when you get to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 18. We'll read it. Let me read it to you. 2 Corinthians 3, 18. But we all, Christians in general, at this church at Corinthians. But we all. So tonight, it's like if we could take this and change it. But we all, a Temple Baptist Church. That's what I'd like for you in your mind to do. This is our theme for the year. Into His image. There's a word missing. We're going to go over that tonight. Verse 18, but we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. All of us together, as we read God's word, it becomes a glass, a mirror, and we see the glory of God. Or, here's the word, changed into the same image, the image of Christ. From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So several things about this passage. You can't get them all tonight. But we are changed into His image by the Spirit of God. Now, if I could just take just a minute tonight. A church family is what it is because God is the ordaining person behind a local church. We're to, first off, trust Christ as Savior and then come together as a family. And then the goal is that we become changed into His image, like Him. Now, tonight, you and I cannot do this of our own accord. And I want you to see these words are used throughout Scripture. And I want you to see tonight how we can do that and why we should do that. And every one of you, young people, adults, moms, dads, singles, it's for all of us. It is why we're here. To be saved. To be changed into His image. And to bring glory to God and people to Him. And those three things are the reason why everybody's here. If you're 85 years old and you're still here, nothing is different. If you've trusted Christ as Savior, you're still to be changed into His image, more and more like Christ. That's reason Titus chapter 2, the Lord is assuming that we are going to be changed into His image because He says the older women are to teach the younger women. But that doesn't happen unless the older women are striving to be in His image. It doesn't change to be like that. Unless the older men. And the Bible says in Titus chapter 2 that the older men are to teach the younger men. And so if that's going to happen, if God's plan is going to work, then you and I as individuals, as teenagers have to say, I want to be like Christ. Now, first off, I want you to take a look at this word image. And I want us to know what is meant by it. Number one, the word image is the word Greek word icon. We use it every day when you work on a computer and you click on an icon, it takes you to a program. Well, as I said before, you and I are to be in the image of Christ. So that when people click on us, they click their mind onto Dave Pittman, they're supposed to be thinking about the glories of Christ. Because I've been changed by the Spirit of God. And I'm still changing. And so therein lies the reasoning why I'm striving to be all that I can be for Christ. And when I fall and skin my knee, I get up and say, I'm sorry, will you forgive me? All of us. So that there can be a respect level for the effort to strive to be like Christ. And even a greater respect level for those that when we fall and trip up, we get up and say, I'm sorry, I didn't handle that right. Will you forgive me? The ability to say, ask for forgiveness and to correct it brings more respect. Now, there's nobody in this room that doesn't need to be changed. Nobody. We are changing until the day He calls us home, because His image is perfect. Now, I want you to notice, if you would, take your Bible and turn to Exodus 33. I want you to see this. Exodus 33. And I want you to notice verse 11. Notice what he says. The Lord spake unto Moses face to face. We're going to look at that. What does that mean? As a man speaketh unto his friend. So you and I have to become the friend of God in order to speak face to face with Him. Now, let's pause for a minute. Look down in verse number 20. And he said, thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. So what is he talking about when he says face to face? What does he mean? Look over in Deuteronomy chapter 5, if you would. Deuteronomy chapter 5. And notice verse number 4. The Lord talked with you face to face in the mount out of the midst of the fire. Now he's speaking to the children of Israel. So let's get the definition of face to face from God. Look at verse 5. I stood, this is Moses, between the Lord and you at that time to show you the word of the Lord. For you were afraid by reason of the fire, which was the presence of God, and went not up to the mount. So, in other words, they didn't go up to the mount. They didn't get close to the Lord. But he said, I was speaking to you face to face. You could see my image, the glory of God. Okay? The glory is a glowing fire that's brighter than the sun. Now, if you remember the passage when Moses came down off the mount, he had to put a veil on his face because his face shone. Why? Because the glory of God had shone into his skin, and his skin was lighted similar to the Lord. Now, they could not see anything, but they were, God was willing to speak to them one-on-one. That's face-to-face. So let me explain this to you. When you do this, you're face to face with God. Oh, we can't see the exact image. But we're face to face with Him because there's nobody between us and Him. It's just you and Him. Now, the Lord says, I want you to be saved and to be changed. And then you might say, well, how? I mean, what are we supposed to be like? We're to be in the image of Christ. Now, take your Bible, if you would, and turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. And I want you to see the exact same word of changed in the Greek text. But you'll see it's a different word in the English text. Notice what he says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. In other words, you and I have two choices. We can become conform to the image of this world. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. It's not necessarily the way we look, although we could be. And many times is. But that's not what he's talking about. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed. This word is the word that anybody in science knows what metamorphosis is. That's this word. Change from something that's a worm into something that's beautiful, a butterfly. a caterpillar to a butterfly. So change from an ungodly sinner into a righteous child of God, into his image. So now let's go back and read verse 12. Chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Changed. That's the same word in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Changed into his image. So you and I are to be completely different when we get older than we were when we were younger. And it does not matter when we got saved. If we got saved at 50 or 60, we're to be changed into his image. Now, how does this partially happen? Well, take your Bible and turn to James, if you would. James chapter 1. I want you to notice this. James 1, verse number 22. And be ye not doers of the word, and be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. But if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face, here it is, in a glass. You've been reading God's word, which is the mirror of God, and he beholdeth himself. He compares himself from the scriptures as to what he's supposed to be and what he is. And goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Forgetteth is put it out of your mind. Oh, it's too much trouble to be like that. To tell the truth every day? That's impossible. Nobody can do that. To make excuses, to put it out of your mind that it can be done. Now follow with me. Verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, the word of God, and continueth therein, we look at it long enough to see our flaws. Notice. And continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So, you and I learn the valuable lesson of we are changed through God's word. And the Holy Spirit, if we yield to him, takes the words of God and shows us what we're like by the Holy Spirit's conviction, as he did the Apostle Paul. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And it shows us what we ought to be. Now take your Bible and turn to Galatians chapter number 5. We'll get there on a Sunday night in the future, but I want you to notice this. And we won't take a lot of time here, but notice Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16. And this I say, walk in the Spirit. Walk yielded to the Spirit of God. Walk where you have said, follow Christ. Walk in that way and say, Lord, I will do what you want me to do. I am your disciple, not my own. Now follow with me. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So he says, now there's two parts to this. Now I want you to follow and read with me verse number 19. Now we're going to read 19 and 22, and then we're going to go back to another passage of scripture and see how we can apply them. Now watch this, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. They're made known because the word of God tells us what they are. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, putting anything before the Lord, witchcraft, hatred, despising people, variance, emulations, wrath, losing our temper, strife, being argumentative, seditions, heresies, envyings, wanting something somebody else has got, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Now notice verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So we've taken the first list and said, I don't want those anymore in my life. And we've taken the second list as into his image and said, now I want to be like that. Now take your Bible and turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Hold your finger there and turn to Romans chapter 12 again, verse 2. We're going to look at a word in both passages. And it's a secret to changing. Now watch this. Verse 9. This is Colossians 3, 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have, here it is, put off the old man with his deeds. The way you were before you got saved. Now, if you got saved younger in life, then the characteristics, if you're not careful, of the world are always the same, saved or unsaved. A Christian can be a liar just like an unsaved man can be a liar. A Christian can be an immoral person just like one that's unsaved can be. A Christian can be someone that hates somebody or unforgiving or hard to work with just like somebody that is unsaved. But the Lord is saying, seeing you've put off the old man, a conscious decision to say, I want to change. Now, you don't come to church and say, well, I want to be like Pastor, or I want to be like Brother Scott, or like one of the deacons. I'm not saying that some of our godly deacons would not be a good example for you to follow, as Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. But I want you to notice, if you would, in verse 10, and have put on the new man. Okay, what is the new man? Which is renewed or renovated or rebuilt in the knowledge, the understanding, after the image of him who created him. So you build this new man, your life. You change your life by rebuilding your life into the image of Christ. The fruits of the Spirit. The things that you see in Jesus Christ from Scripture. It's not that we have this list of things at church and say, everybody be like this. We get the list from Jesus Christ, from the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Be filled with the Spirit. Now flip back over, if you would, to Romans chapter number 12. How is it we remodel our lives? What is the secret to it? Well, number one, we have to use God's Word regularly. Now, how often you use that depends on how often you look at a set of plans. They're building a new building. Now, when I go over there, I used to go every morning and every afternoon just to make sure now that if they need something, if they have a question, last week, the orchestra pit has a floor in it. It's called a winger floor. It's a particular designer. It's in six parts. I don't know how it works. I've never seen one. But it's got six parts in that orchestra pit. And you reach down and grab one of them up, and it pops up on its own legs. When you push it down and lock it, it falls down, and it sits on itself. Okay? Well, they called me and said, we've got your price for your floor. It's $48,000. And I said, okay, that's a little more than we thought. And he says, well, he said, it comes with two carts. And I said, carts? He said, yeah, you take the floor apart and you put it on the carts and take it to your storage room. I said, whoa. Number one, we ain't got a storage room. Not in this building. And number two, how wide is that cart? Well, it'll go through two 6 foot, 3 foot doors, like the back. I said, we don't have that either. We got a 3 foot door. So we go look and check the plans and come to find out the door off the platform is a 3 foot door. To change the light bulb, now they're LEDs, they shouldn't be changed for 10 or 15 years. And I'm planning on being in heaven in probably 15, 20 years. So it's going to be y'all's problem, okay? But I've thought about it. I don't want them to curse me because they couldn't get on the platform. And so I went back and I said, how are they going to get up there 35 feet to change that bulb? So I said, call the architect and I said, hey, what would be involved in making that door a single 4 foot wide door? Can we get a lift through that? Oh, yeah. The guy says, yeah, you can get the lift through there. Oh, and by the way, you can get those containers that hold the floor through there. I said, we don't want that floor. He said, you don't? I said, no, I want one that stays in place. It pops up and goes down. I've heard about them. Can you find one? Well, he calls me back and he says, hey, I found you one. And he told me before, he said, that's going to be more expensive. Now, that would make sense, wouldn't it? He calls him back and says, well, I got good news. I said, what is that? He said, it's the same price. I said, why is that? Because we don't have to build all the carts and have you take it apart and put it in the storage facility. I said, well, that's a no-brainer. But I go by and you know what? They're poring over the plans. Is that a 4 foot door? What page is that on? Is it a 3 foot door? And nobody knows until they get to the plan, A, page 13. They'll look it up and say, it's a 3 foot door. Every morning I go out there, the framer is doing this, or he's doing this on his iPad. He's looking at the drawing of the architect. So when something gets changed, he doesn't do it. He said, I'm not doing that. Change it on my drawing first. So what I'm trying to say to you is God has given you the drawing right here. He's the architect. And he will show you as you look at the drawing. If you don't look to see love, joy, and you don't say, I want that in my life. So let's back up. Now we read verse chapter 12 of Romans, chapter 12, verse number 2. And be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Then he tells us how. By the renewing, the complete change for the better of your mind. So what you do is you go through and look at the drawings and say, I'm not supposed to lose my temper. I got to fix that. So there are some things we have to put off. Lustfulness. Covetousness. We can see it in other people, but we can't see it in us. Until we read God's word and say, Lord, I want to change. I want you to change me up here the way I think. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says, bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. So the way you're going to change, the way I'm going to change, the way a teenager is going to change is by you not saying, hey, what do you think about your parents? Oh, I don't like mine either. Oh, I got to change that attitude. You're supposed to love your parents and obey your parents. Yeah, but I don't like that. Well, you can't be in the image of Christ. You've got to let your mind be renovated using His plan, not your own. You renovate your mind and you use the plan, which the Bible said in Colossians chapter 3, is the image of God. He's the plan. But we have no understanding of His image. It's not that Jesus Christ is 6 foot tall, 6 foot five. It's not that Jesus Christ wears a 44 coat or a 38 coat. It's not the physical image of Christ. It's the character of Christ. That's the image. And the image, as you look into the sun, you can't see anything but just around, just a sphere. You can't see all of the explosions on the sun's surface. You can't see all of the black holes on the sun or whatever, the dark spots. You can't see that. But you get into God's Word and the Holy Spirit will let you see things that need to be changed in your life. Now, let's see here. I don't think there's anybody in this room. I don't see anybody that has a shaved head, okay? Now, I'm going to tell you what this requires. Every morning, I get up, and do you know the number one thing I use? Jaden, what is it? Anybody know? A mirror. Yeah. I know I use a razor, yes. But I don't get that razor out until I see the mirror. Have you ever tried to shave right there with your right arm? You can lose your right ear if you're not careful. You have to follow on that just as easy as you can. You're looking. Save the right ear this morning. The left ear, wow, got it. If you don't look at the mirror of the Word of God, you cannot change into His image. It requires you have a willingness to be renewed. Everybody here. So if you're having a little bit of difficulty in your marriage and you say maybe you've been married 50 years, but you know, I know people married 50 years and they're not happy. It's just too much trouble to go their separate ways. I know I can name people like that. Not here. And so why is that? Well, both of them did not make the commitment at some point in time as a Christian to say, I want to change to be in His image. And I'm willing to let my mind make every change necessary according to the Word of God. And I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to help me. And you can change every day. And you will change every day. Because the Holy Spirit is interested in you putting off. But He will not do this and say, stop losing your temper. He's going to go like this. That wasn't right what you said. That still small voice. You need to forgive. You need to forgive your boss. I don't want to. Okay. You can tell you what that results in? Jonah. God got him to go to Nineveh and preach the gospel. But he never surrendered to renovate here. He said, okay, I'll do it. But I'm not going to like it. You read Jonah chapter 2. God put him in the belly of the whale. He thought he had died and gone to hell. And it took 3 days for him to say, I surrender. The old fish spits him out on the bank. And he goes running to Nineveh. It's 3 days across it. He goes and preaches the gospel. They get saved. And he comes back and he sits. And the Lord says, hey, what are you doing here? He said, I'm mad. Why? I knew you were gracious and loving, forgiving, and you'd forgive those butchers, and you have. And I'm not happy. You see, that's the only book that ends with a question mark. We don't know what happened to Jonah. Well, I know what happened to Jonah. You know what happened to Jonah. The Lord whipped him and probably took him on to heaven, and he shortened his life and missed a lot of rewards that he could have had because he would not allow himself to be changed into His image. So I'm glad this just says into His image. The question tonight is, will you change? Will you go from what you are, a worm, what I am, a worm? I want to be the best husband on earth. It's not a competition between me and Rick. I can say that. I loved Rick. He was a great guy, a great Christian. But I want to be everything I can be for her based upon this. So I have to change. There are certain things that I have to change because I love her. I want to be different. I want to be like Christ. So I can't say for you, get up in the morning and spend some time with the Lord, and me not get up in the morning and read God's Word. Oh, you would never know it. How many of you have ever seen me have my devotions? Raise your hand. Oh, I see a couple, okay. On a missions trip or whatever. But you don't know every day, but he does. Now, the amount of effort I put into changing requires, number one, the decision. I want to change, Lord. I want to put off the old man. Lord, would you help me? Now, think of that. I'm going to tell you a story in a minute. Lord, would you help me? I can't do it alone. Lord, show me what you want me to be. I grieve because the former superintendent out at our property, name was John. I told you he was, he got fired for his spirit, for things that he did and said from Miller Brothers. It grieved me. I rejoiced in my heart. The old man said, thank the Lord. And my new man said, oh no. You want to know why? Because I'm almost sure he's not saved, and I lost my opportunity to show him Christ. I got what my flesh wanted. We've got the best superintendent now you can imagine, easy to work with, helps us. But there's one man that's 72 years old, his wife died 3 years ago, and he's a crotchety, hard to work with old man that nobody cares about. I bet you nobody cared about him but me. I wanted to see him saved. But I almost daily had to say, Lord, how do I speak to that guy? Lord, how do I get into his heart? Lord, how? And then all of a sudden, in one day, he was gone. I said, yes, oh, no. That's the battle of the flesh. And everybody in this room goes through it. The question is, will you keep fighting to put away the old man? Galatians 5:19 and that list. And put on the new man. Galatians 5:22. And will you surrender and say to your Holy Spirit, you show me how. And I'll do it. You have to make the decision to change. Will you do that? You have to have the desire to follow the plan. Will you do that? You have to be determined not to give up when you scuff your knees. And it's every one of us. Are you pleasant to work with? Are you a loving father, a loving husband? Are you a loving wife? God has a reason for all of us to be here, and we're to be like Christ. That's the reason you said those Christians have come here that have turned the world upside down. Why? They were all honest. They were all truthful. They always tried to honor their wives, and they didn't do that in Rome days of Rome. And they all tried to do what was right at no matter what the cost was. And the world saw it, and it changed the entire known world where they said, who is this Jesus? And that's our job. Only we're failing at it. Because churches have become, I want to get something. I want it to be good for me. I want to be able to enjoy myself. Look, the Word of God, when I read it in the mornings, I don't always enjoy it because it steps on my toes. And I see things that I need to work on. And I say, Lord, I'm sorry. Every morning it's like I'm saying, Lord, I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? I didn't handle that right yesterday. Lord, I should have done this differently. And Lord, I want to be like you. Lord, please help me. I'm going to read you a story. And in just a minute, Brother Chase is going to put a picture on the screen. Mr. Irwin was a World War II soldier in an airplane. It was his job to take a 20-pound phosphorus flare and drop it down a chute in a B-29 bomber so that the squadron would stay together. And he was dropping them out. He dropped one. He struck it. It lit. He dropped it. And it has an 8-second delay as it goes down the chute, gets out of the plane, and then lights. This one dropped down the chute and blew up in his face, and it blinded him. His words, "I was all on fire." The flare went to the front of the plane, and it blinded the cockpit and the pilot. Smoke was everywhere. The plane started diving. His middle name was Irwin. I'm going to read it to you. Says that he picked up the phosphorus flare at 1300 degrees with his hand and pulled it to his chest. And he began to crawl his way till he came to the navigator's table that blocked him from getting to the window of the cockpit. He was totally blind. He reached down while the flare is burning, somehow unhinged the table, moved it aside, crawled into the cockpit, got up to the window of the cockpit, opened it somehow, and threw the flare out. And then collapsed on the floor. His entire body was covered in bandages when Major General, commander of the Army Armed Forces, presented him with a Medal of Honor. It is the fastest anyone's ever received it, 7 days. Because the general on site said he bull pushed it through the channels and said, "I want to pin this medal to the greatest sacrifice I've ever seen a soldier make before he dies." He got it in 7 days. It's still the record for the fastest approval of a Congressional Medal of Honor on record. He goes in and presents it to him. Would you put his picture up? Do you see his picture? That's after 40 surgeries. I want you to listen to what he said. In 1999, he was being interviewed. He said, "Mr. Irwin, how did you do that?" I quote, "I called on the Lord to help me, and He has never let me down." After 40 surgeries, now let me listen to this. His 6-year-old grandson and he were talking about the awards he got in the military. Apparently his grandson said, "Could I see what you got?" Does anybody know where he went to show him the Medal of Honor? Went into the living room. There's a big old plaque on the wall. Nope. He said, "Come here." They went down the basement. Got it to a box in the basement. And pulled out the Congressional Medal of Honor. He said, "Here it is." He said, "Can I hold it?" His 6-year-old grandson held it, leaned over his shoulder, and he said this, "Freedom is not free." Salvation is not free. If we're going to get the gospel to the world, if we're going to change, it's going to be you and I making a conscious decision to say, "I'm going to do the right thing no matter what it costs me." They thought he was going to die. Hence the urgency to get the Medal of Honor to him in the bed of his deathbed. He didn't die. They thought he was going to be blind. He wasn't blind. They thought he was going to lose his arm. Have no idea how he kept his arm. He did lose most of his fingers. And you can see his face. Now I want you to understand this. That was the price of a soldier's duty. Do any of us give any less? for the Savior of the world? Would any of us dare say, to tell the truth costs too much? To obey my parents, that's too hard. To love my husband or love my wife, you're asking too much. To forgive somebody that doesn't deserve it, you're asking too much. Folks, let this be the year that all of us change from the worm to the butterfly to the image of Christ. Where people see us at Temple Baptist Church, that new building is worth zero to the heart of people. All we're going to do is have a nice place, nice pews, a nice comfortable place for them to come and sit. But you are the ingredient God's going to use to change people. When we make the decision, Lord, I want to change. Well, we dig into God's word and say, Lord, show me. And we'll be determined when we make mistakes to get back up and say, I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. I called on the Lord and he helped me. And he's never let me down. If a soldier can say that, so can you and I. Let's bow our heads for a prayer tonight. I'm just going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse or two of Invitation Hymn. I don't know where you are in your Christian life, but could I plead with you to come to this altar and say, Lord, change me. Lord, I want to be like you. Lord Jesus, all of us, Lord, my prayer is to make the decision to change. Lord, that people could see us as the image of Christ and see the icon of Jesus Christ and say, I want to be like that. Lord, every teenager, every adult, Lord, help our marriages, Father, to be in your image. But it takes people that are willing to sacrifice at any cost, like Mr. Owens. Lord, if we call out to you, I know you'll help us. Would you help me? Lord, I want to be in your image. Now speak to hearts tonight. In your name I pray. Amen.